Welcome in to the Bracket Bunker podcast, coming to you on this beautiful March 22nd, and we got basketball today on Monday. You know, it's been a really great weekend of hoops. We had some crazy, you know, upsets. Oral Roberts making the Sweet 16, Abilene Christian beating Texas, Oregon State to the Sweet 16. Some absolutely crazy stuff that has been happening. And Loyola beating Illinois. I mean, Loyola Chicago has the goods, has the talent to make it to the final. I could legitimately see the final being Loyola Gonzaga at this point. I either think it'll be Loyola Gonzaga, Baylor Gonzaga, you know, I think maybe Florida State has a chance to get in there. If they can go up against Gonzaga, they usually give them problems. But that is not why I am recording this podcast today. Today I'm recording this podcast over one specific game that has caught my eye. And this is a Sweet 16 matchup in the Midwest region where Syracuse will be playing Houston. And there's just so many factors that go into this game for me. Let's just talk about, the two teams and what they've done so far. Syracuse, they beat San Diego State. You know, the score is not even indicative of how much of a blowout it was. So they beat, you know, the 28th best team in KenPom, San Diego State, who had, you know, apparently, statistically, the 21st best defense, the 46th best offense. You know, they had two guys who could shoot it 39% or better from three, one guy who shot at 33%, Matt Mitchell, or better. And the zone just ate them up. They couldn't handle it. They missed a bunch of threes. They didn't know how to play against it. Okay. Then Syracuse goes and plays against West Virginia, who is the 22nd ranked team in the country, 10th best offense, 67th best defense. And they go up, you know, pretty big on them early. They're up, I think, 14 at one point. And then, you know, they let West Virginia sort of back in it before the half. Then they pulled away again. They were up maybe 10. They sort of kept like an eight point lead, like almost the whole second half. They let West Virginia back at the end a little bit. It got sort of tight. They got, you know, lucky that they were able to break the press a few times that, you know, got super dicey. But okay. I mean, they were the better team. You know, there's no doubt about it. They were the better team against West Virginia. They're better than West Virginia. Okay, so this is what the tournament's all about. It's about showing your best when the time comes and when it matters, right? And when the time comes, the way that they play defense, okay, Jim Boeheim, he recruits specifically for his 2-3 zone. So his philosophy is, I'm going to recruit people who can play within my schematic matchup 2-3 zone, and then I can teach them offense from there. So his specialty is this matchup 2-3 zone, which no one really else in the country does this 2-3 zone. And so you don't see it unless you play in the ACC and you happen to play Syracuse. But I mean, just watching Syracuse in those first two games, and I'll get to Houston, the way that they can steal the ball, they are all over the place. So that they actually, like, they're not just like one of these like stuck up like major schools like Illinois, who, you know, maybe, or Oklahoma State, you know, who's like not, who's sort of nonchalant about the whole thing. you know, being in the tournament, they didn't really seem like, okay, like, we're not going like 1,000% like you're supposed to, like Abilene Christian, right? Cuse reminds me more of Abilene Christian than it does of like a major school. I mean, they are all over the place. They have length, they have athleticism. You know, with Alan Griffin and Guerrier, you know, Kadari Richmond, Dolajai, and then the two shooters, Girard and Boeheim, and they're not the only shooters. I mean, Griffin and Guerrier, you know, they're knocking down threes as well. Braswell giving them some threes. Anyway, so this, the way that they rush to the ball and the way that they've been like getting these rebounds as well has been really impressive. You know, they just seem to have a knack for like just finding the ball. Anyway, so, and the way that Buddy Boeheim is shooting the ball, I mean, and Girard too, I mean, they are like, they're feeling it. They're lighting it up. And, you know, you have that in combination with some of these athletes and other guys shooting it well as well. Dolajai, you know, he's playing extremely well. The way that he dishes assists, oh my goodness. I mean, some of the passes that he can make from the top of the key, you know, they had him like at the end of the game with the ball. He made like one mistake there at the end when he tried to pass to Girard in the back in the backcourt. But other than that, he made some really great passes. The way that he's passing it, and honestly, even Jesse Edwards off the bench. I mean, you know, giving him like only, you know, 10 minutes a game, but you know, he's not terrible. So I mean, they do have, you know, people say that they don't really have a bench. Well, sort of true. I mean, but Edwards, I mean, he's 6'11", and he's not bad. You know, he can come in and spell people and they get in foul trouble. They do have an issue with a little bit with fouls. But the way that they turn people over, man, they're playing really well. And then we get to Houston, who's, you know, KenPom's darling, right? This is KenPom's darling. Always is, always has been, always will be. It's just the way that they play. They just statistically, you know, seem to do all the right things to fill these efficiency metrics. Like they're the number one defense in effective field goal percentage. Well, okay. But then you have to look at their strength of schedule to see how they got there, right? So I think the thing about KenPom is I'm not sure that he factors in strength of schedule in his lines. Like just looking at, he's basically only looking at, you know, the offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency, which they're 7th and 12th. You know, 12th against three-pointers. They only allow 29% three-point shooting. Okay, that, you know, honestly, that could be the one issue that Syracuse might run into. And, you know, thinking about it, I could see this being a low scoring game. I think the total is probably too high. But anyway, the way that Houston played against Rutgers, they obviously blew out Cleveland State. Cleveland State's terrible. They're the worst team in the tournament. It makes sense that they blew them out. They were the luckiest team in the country throughout the year. And according to KenPom, and you know, that was easy cover, beat him by 31. Okay. They come back against Rutgers. They should not have won that game. They outscored in the last 10 minutes of the game. They outscored Rutgers 23-10. Quentin Grimes had 22 points. Giroux had 17. Marcus Sasser had 4 points. Goodness. Okay. Is he supposed to be their second best player, or is Giroux their second best player? I guess Giroux is, but okay. So let's say that Giroux is their second best player. Okay. He has 78 made field goals on the year. He is the leading field goal guy for them on the year with 78. Quentin Grimes has 68. Marcus Sasser has 51. Tremont Mark has 56. Justin Gorman has 69, excuse me, and Gresham has 39. So they don't have one guy who's made over 78 field goals, 2-point baskets on the year. Syracuse has essentially four. Okay, they have Dolezal made 92, Guerrier had 121, Girard had 40, Alan Griffin had 76, and Buddy Boeheim had 82. Okay, like it just, I'm looking at this matchup, and the only reason that Houston is a 6.5 point favorite is KenPom, because KenPom has them winning by 8. Okay, he has Houston by 8. But the thing is they're factoring in the entire body of work of the stats. And Cuse played the 48th hardest schedule, so about almost 100 slots, harder than Houston, who was like, the 147th. So almost exactly 100 spots better in terms of strength of schedule. And like I get it, like they're the eight, okay, so Syracuse is the 86th best defensive efficiency, for example. Well, they might not have had it together, I guess, during the year and some of the games that they played. And the ACC wasn't good this year, so I'll admit that. But it was better than the AAC. I know that for sure. So I mean, the AAC, Wichita State won that league. I mean, you're talking about and like you look back two years ago or last year, the year before that, all of these AAC teams were better than they are this year, like talent wise. Houston lost their best player, Caleb Mills. He transferred this year. So like, yeah, that like if they had Caleb Mills, maybe I would give them a chance here, to win. But they just don't have the talent. Okay, Quentin Grimes made 91 threes. He's 41%. He's a beast. He's the 10th, statistically 10th best player in the country. I get it. But Marcus Sasser took 202 threes and made 66. He's 32%. Giroux, 36%. He's 29 for 79. No one else can shoot. Justin Gorman, okay, he's 17 for 47. He doesn't take that many, but it's still 36%. Okay. The only real 3-point threat is Quentin Grimes. And if you know the Syracuse matchup zone, the way that they can take away your best player, pretty easily. So you're going to have those other guys make the shots, which percentage-wise they can't, let alone facing this matchup zone for the first time. And Syracuse has Buddy Boeheim, 76 threes made. He's red hot. He's 39% on the year. Alan Griffin, 56 made out of 154, 36%. Girard, 48 for 145, 33%. He's low, but he's on and off. And the way he's been shooting, he's been on. And I think he's a gamer. You can just tell he wants it. So I expect him to continue to be on. And then they have Guerrier, 31%, and Braswell off the bench at 30%. So not only do they have better 3-point shooters, they have better 2-point shooters, with all the field goals made. They're 16th in the country in free throw percentage. Houston 74th. Houston is, I don't even know how, the only reason that they're seventh best offense is because they're second in offensive rebounding percentage. And admittedly, Cuse isn't the best at defensive rebounding. They're one of the worst in the country statistically. But like I said, the way that they're getting to the ball in these tournament games, they're jumping to the ball and they're just putting themselves in really good position. They're going all out. I mean, I know Houston, it tries hard as well as one of those teams. But man, Cuse, I mean, they're giving max effort. And to be able to prepare for this matchup zone is very difficult in the tournament. And that's why Boeheim always does so well. And that's why I've been on Syracuse the past two games here, is because it's very hard to prepare for. The way that they can match up, it's confusing the way that they do it. And then they can force turnovers and they recover so well. So all of a sudden you think guys are open, but then there's a guy there because, you know, they're in a zone, but they're also able to match up at the same time. And yes, they have the athletes, Houston does as well, but they don't have a guy over 6'8". Okay. Quentin Grimes is 6'5", Sasser's 6'1", Drew's 6'5", Mark's 6'5", Gorman 6'7". Gresham 6'8". Okay. Syracuse 6'6", 6'5", 6'1", 6'7", 6'5", 6'10", 6'7", 6'11". So they're actually probably, I mean, average height, they're 30th in the country at 78 inches. Okay. And then Houston is 145th in the country at 77 inches. So Syracuse has them by an inch in terms of their entire roster average height. Okay, so we'll go through that. Then you have Buddy Boeheim, who beat Oklahoma, who beat Kelvin Sampson on his way to a championship with Carmelo Anthony. So he has something up on him, right? He has something up on Kelvin Sampson. Usually those kind of trends continue. We saw Bob Huggins against Jim Boeheim, 1-5. Now he's 1-6. Okay, so these coaching matchups matter. That's another factor. And then another factor is the ACC, right? It's the power of the ACC, okay? They're one of the biggest conferences. They're, you know, a huge moneymaker for the NCAA. The AAC is not. I mean, I'm just saying, I'm not to get into anything like conspiratorial. I'm just saying that in the interest of, you know, big money that goes into the ACC compared to the AAC, it's just not even close. Okay, so you're talking about in a Sweet 16 game where the ACC might not even be able to get any other Elite Eight teams. You know, they're a conference that they're always going to have usually a team in the Elite Eight. And the AAC, the committee and the NCAA hates the AAC. Okay, they've proven that over the years, except with Houston for some reason. It's there's something with Houston that they like. But the conference itself is not good. Wichita State, Houston, Memphis, SMU. Oh my God. I mean, usually the conference is good. Like 2 years ago, you look at Cincinnati with Cumberland. 3 years ago when they had Cronin, right? I mean, they're a good team. They always have difficulty. They had difficulty in the tournament as well, right? Look at like everyone always thought, right, that Cincinnati was this great team every year. And they were good. They were really good. They're way better than this Houston team. And they would always lose in the second round. And so don't forget about these AAC teams, right? They didn't win. They didn't get to even the Sweet 16, the Cincinnati team, like ever. Okay? They didn't. I'm looking back, trying to even find. I mean, I'm all the way back to 2015, 2014. Nope. 2013. Nope. And that, so as an AAC Conference, let's see the best that Houston's done. I think that they got to the Sweet 16. They didn't. They lost in the second round to Michigan. They lost in the first round. No, that was the NIT. let's see, Georgia Tech. Nope. Okay, they did. They got to the Sweet 16 in 2019, and they lost to Kentucky. They don't have the same players as they had there. They still have Jrue. They lost Armani Brooks, Corey Davis. I guess against that Ohio State team, they were pretty good. They weren't great though. They weren't as good as like the 2019 Ohio State. It wasn't as good as 2020 or 2021. So yeah, that's the one year that they made it. The AAC made it to the Sweet 16. Okay. Now we're in the Sweet 16. We're already there. They don't make it past this round. Okay. So program-wise, you have to like Syracuse here historically as a team who in the past, has made Final Four runs. 2016, Final Four. 20,2018 as an 11 seed. They made it to the Elite Eight and they lost to Duke, another ACC team. Okay. They beat Michigan State, that like a really good Michigan State team. And, I would say that honestly, this team is better than that team. That team had Tyus Battle, Frank Howard, Brissett, great, good players. No one shot above 32, 33% from three for the year. Dolezal played big minutes on that team. Okay, now he's experienced, right? And now they have Buddy Boeheim, who's red hot. Dolezal is playing great. Guerrier's playing great. Gerard's playing great. They're all playing really well. And now they come up against Houston. And the reason I made this podcast, if you guys are even still here, how in the world, after all of that I just said, Houston is sitting as a 6.5 point favorite against Syracuse. Are you telling me that Houston is better than West Virginia? Like a Big 12 team who's been through the doldrums of the Big 12 and has athletes and shooters, more shooters than Houston. San Diego State's better than Houston, I think. Like that would be a good matchup. They have more shooters than Houston. I don't like I do not understand where the love comes from with Houston. I don't understand it. And it's confusing to me. I think it has to do with these like analytic, numbers, and people have their numbers, right? These sharp bettors. They have those numbers that they stick by. And it's like they're almost like stuck in their ways, though. It's like the, it's like these people who don't, who are like, the people that hate on Bitcoin who are like, oh, only gold is the, whatever. It's like, no, Bitcoin is here. Okay. Like you can't be stuck in your ways on this thing. Like do your research. Richie Bacciolari today on VSiN Live with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard. Shout out, follow the money. He said that Houston is one of the best two or three teams in the country. He has the line at 7.5, and he said they have a possibly the best combination of guards in the country. Are you kidding me? Houston, they should not have beaten Rutgers. Rutgers. They missed a ton of free throws even throughout the game. They didn't look good at all. Syracuse is red hot. And they have more players who've made, like, I went through all the stats already. So they have four guys who have had 77 field goals made or more. Houston has one guy with 78 max. And then they only have like two three-point shooters. Okay, maybe three. Maybe three. Syracuse has like four. Okay, so they're better at 3 points. They're better at, like, I went through this already, but it's, and they're hotter, and they have the better coach, the better conference. They have the better, like, matchup with the 2-3 zone. That's a perfect matchup against Houston. Okay, so I guess what it is that people see what the books are thinking, I guess. Okay. And, you know, I thought about it, like, is this a trap? You know, whatever. We'll get into that. What they're thinking is, okay, it's an 11 seed against a 2, right? And maybe that's what the public will gravitate towards. Is the 2 seed moneyline parlays? I don't know. But then you have Richie Baccellari, who apparently a sharp, you know, professional sports bettor, who's going to take Houston -6, or it's 6.5, whatever, 6, because he thinks that, you know, this will be the end of the run for Syracuse for some reason. But yeah, like, so let's talk about, is this a trap? That's the thing, is I don't think, maybe not enough people are looking at Syracuse in this way, that I am. I don't know. You know, they think, okay, Syracuse is overrated, and this is how they always end up making these runs, is that people, I guess the public, is just thinking, oh, they're overrated. They shouldn't have made the tournament. You know, they're overrated now, like after winning, and they shouldn't have made the tournament, that, you know, and I was, again, like, sort of one of those people who was like, I don't think they should have made it. But, so I'm trying to figure out, like, is everyone going to jump on Syracuse and then they'll take the money with Houston just because? I mean, I don't think that Boeheim's team will fold like that. I mean, if anything, they will be right in this game. You know, like, they're not going to just get blown out, because that's not the way that they operate, especially in these tournament games. They won't be intimidated by the athleticism of and the length of Houston. Like I said, they're taller than Houston. So it's not like Houston's, like, laying over them as some, like, big intimidating force of, you know, of players or whatever. And so there's, like, all these different factors to why I think that this line, I personally think that this line in all reality is 10 points off. I think it should be Syracuse -3.5. If this game was reversed, same players on both teams, and Houston was the 11 and Syracuse was the 2, it could even be higher than that. It could be, you know, whatever, like 6. It could be a 6 the other way. This could be a 12.5 point difference. And so I say all that to conclude a recommendation on Syracuse +6.5, buy the points, whatever you want to do. I actually bought it to +8 because I'm like, yeah, give me 11 points. Give me 11.5 points difference with, you know, the hottest shooter in college basketball, Buddy Boeheim, who just broke Jerry McNamara's record for most threes made in the first two rounds by a Syracuse player. He made 13 threes in the first two rounds. And, you know, particularly late in the season, he's been hot. He's made, you know, 6 threes, 2, 6, 5, 7, 6. And obviously you have Quentin Grimes. Let's see his latest games. How many threes has he made? 4, 5, 5, 5, 4, 5. Okay. I mean, he's a great player. He's a pro. Okay. He's a professional. I don't know if Syracuse has any pros, so that's one thing to look at. Okay, that I'm trying to make any case I can here for Houston, but okay. But out of all the things that I've explained, this is going to be one of the bigger bets that I've already made it. I've already done it. And I bet Syracuse plus 8. I bet Syracuse plus 6.5. I bet them plus 215. I bet them plus, now they're plus 230. I personally think that they're the better team. So you're going to give me plus 230. I'm also going to take the money line. If you want to be really conservative, I mean, take the points. Is Houston going to blow out Syracuse? They beat Memphis by three. They beat Memphis by three at the end of the season. Then they beat Memphis by two. Okay, so I personally think Memphis was the second best team in that conference, not Wichita. But Houston lost to Wichita. Houston only beat Wichita by 7 points at home, of all things. They beat Rutgers by three and they should have lost. They've played no one on earth. They beat Texas Tech by 11. Okay, that's their best win by far. Texas Tech, they lost to Arkansas. I don't think Texas Tech was as good as people thought this year. And in conclusion, again, Syracuse plus the points, take the points to the bank, and enjoy your Monday games. It's going to be really interesting and should be fun. Let's do it.